Alright, so please make yourself comfortable. Meditation, what I find after so many years more and more with people is that they make that another chore, meditation. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And that is, if you develop that attitude from the very beginning that you want to control something, that you think you have to achieve something, then most of you probably have enough stress in your life, and then meditation is just going to be one more stressful thing on top of that, what you have already. Huh? So each and every meditation, instead of trying to control the mind, not to think, calm down mind, blah 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 blah, you're going to check your attitude from the very beginning. Huh? Check if it's sort of, is my mind capable now? Is it happy? Maybe just slowing down a little bit. Is that a happy thought, that the mind doesn't have to do anything right now? Or is it, does it put stress onto the mind? And then if it puts stress on your mind, you find that then try to improve that attitude first of all, before you even continue. Make that something nice. Make that something kind in your mind. And so you make that the first kind thing is that you sit down now, please, as comfortable as you can. And you figure out if you sit too straight, then you get tense. And if you sit too relaxed, then you cannot breathe properly. And basically you feel that your belly cannot really come out while you're breathing. So it has to be a position which is neither too slack, not too tense. The chairs are quite good here actually, not too uncomfortable. So, get just my clock out. We're not starting yet, because we have some newcomers. I'll give you a little bit of an idea of the direction. And the direction is basically not getting the mind more agitated and trying to figure anything out with thoughts, but to try to disregard the thoughts a little bit. That is not the most important thing now, for that half an hour that we're going to meditate. The thoughts will come up. That is just the nature of thoughts. They come and they go. But there's something in the mind actually that either grasps onto that and finds interest in it, or there is that attitude of, yeah, thought, it's not so important now. But that awareness, try to make that as kind as you can. Not to the sort of, I shouldn't be thinking, so it's just like, oh, thought, I don't need you right now. It's just like, let's see what happens if the mind doesn't think, and if we don't try to control. And focusing much more on this kind attitude together with your breath. That your breath, not your breasts. So that might be a difficulty sometimes. The breath. Breath. Should come as naturally as it usually comes. The funny thing is, if we put attention to it, if we put our focus into it, then often we start controlling the breath as well. So put that kindness of attitude as well together with your breathing, and then you will figure out that it's a very resting point to go to. So I'm going to go with you one time through the body a little bit to relax. So any more important questions before we start? No, I'm gonna give a little bit of guidance the whole time anyway, so I hope everything will be clear enough. So can we please dim the lights and then we start with the meditation for today? So I hope you're all more or less comfortable. Check the distance of your feet away from the chair. If they have the right distance, they're also gonna put less tension on your spine. If you have them too stretched out, then basically you have a little bit more trouble in your chest and belly region again, breathing naturally. So I hope your legs are alright. Next thing can always be tension is check your hands. Can be that they're in a comfortable resting position. There can be one a little bit on top of the other one. Doesn't really matter which one on which. So now we're going to try to relax the shoulders, and we do that by taking a deep in-breath and then letting the air out. And while we're letting the air out, we're going to relax those shoulders. So if the hands lie comfortable, then the shoulders have the best opportunity to get as relaxed as possible. And you might find out during the meditation that they still come down a little bit and they still relax a little bit more. And there's some tension that we're not even aware of right now. And relax the shoulders even more, breathe out. And if the shoulders are relaxed, the head almost automatically comes in a nice position, that it's not too much forwards, not too much backwards. And there's no tension on your neck. And now our face. In our face we often feel that attitude that I'm talking about. Is there tension in the face, around your mouth? And if you feel tension, then give it a smile. Give it a smile and let go of the smile again. And you can do that as many times as it takes, actually, that you have the feeling, oh, now my mouth is completely relaxed. And the eyes are just gently closed. Very gently closed. And we look at the forehead for a short while. Is there still tension going on in the forehead? So now we know the body should be in a position where we won't harm it if we sit here for half an hour. That's part of that kindness, that we make sure actually that the body is going to be okay. If you have some injury, that might not be the case with you, or some chronic pain, and then you're always welcome to get up silently and do a little bit of walking meditation on the floor outside. But with a more or less healthy body, we know exactly there's no problem, no danger now for this half an hour. If we keep it in that position, not gonna harm you. So go a little bit to your breathing, because that brings you into your body now. Just getting aware what is going on here, right now, in that moment, in that room, with those people around us. All the thoughts that try to figure anything out about the past or the future, even the thoughts that try to figure out what is going on right now, you are allowed to be there. But the attention can be on that kindness that doesn't need to control. Kindness towards your breath. Thoughts are coming up, we don't push them away. We just get very aware what is coming up in our mind. And being aware of it, we see it doesn't really have any relevance right now in our meditation. And then without pushing and shoving, it just comes and goes, and you keep that friendly attitude up, this being a friend to yourself. The mind does what the mind does. If you feel you need to center yourself, the breath is always there for you the whole time. Can you get your attitude so kind that whatever is here right now in that moment is welcome? Even if it's not completely pleasant? Just being aware if the mind is slowing down more and more, or if it's speeding up more and more again. And if it's speeding up, put your attention exactly there. What is it thinking about? Bring it clearly into awareness, and then you can let it go, because it's not important right now. It's just a few more minutes where it's not important. 2/3 of our meditation time is already over. I'm just here to remind you, do you feel more agitated or do you feel calmer? Good. If you feel more agitated, look exactly what it is. Don't try to push that away. Have a friendly look. See if you can figure out what is causing tension. Often it just needs a good look and some friendliness, and then it goes away all by itself. ring the bell 3 times. After the last ring, please open your eyes and we end the meditation for tonight. So, how did it go? Well, the most important thing is, like I said, if meditation is just something that puts more pressure on your shoulders, that's obviously exactly the wrong thing. If meditation becomes something as a refuge for yourself, where the mind just knows, wow, that is a place where I like to go, then the mind is inclined to go there and is going to feel happy there. But it's because it's so, it's such a different form of happiness than we're used to, it's easy to get bored with it. It's easy to want something more in the meditation. And so the hardest thing is basically to generate as much kindness in the very beginning of your meditation, as much sort of, wow, beautiful, now I have the opportunity to sit down for a while and I don't have to think of anything, I shouldn't think of anything, I should relax or whatnot. That's always the best, relax, come on. That's right. So if the mind sees some happiness in that direction already, then it's inclined in that direction. It wants to go there. But if you treat meditation as another challenge, and I have to meditate, I should meditate at least once a day for that and that amount of time, or once a week, I haven't meditated again, no wonder I'm such a grumpy bastard right now. So basically then it's all the things that should be associated with the meditation have negative aspects to it. It's always a should and a must. And this, and with that sort of attitude, meditation becomes something very, very burdensome for people, especially if you meditate for a long time, because the mind gets used to stuff. And it's sort of, you can, if you, especially if you do a lot of group meditation, can get into that habit of, oh yeah, here we go again, sort of. And you have your little recipe how to get through it, but there's no interest, there's no spark, there's no happiness, there's no joy in the whole thing. And the whole reason the meditation doesn't get deeper is lack of joy. If the mind is joyful with what it has in that moment, it's going to become more and more still. That's the sequence in Buddhism. It's basically to investigation we figure out what are the obstacles here, mind? What is bothering you? And we talk to it kindly. We talk to yourself kindly too. How is your how is the inner monologue going? Is that your angry relative speaking from somewhere in the past, trying to push you somewhere? Or is that somebody kind who takes care of you? Make that inner monologue somebody kind. We don't need that angry guy in the background to achieve anything. If there's a trust and a kindness there, that is exactly the qualities you're going to need to let go in the meditation, because it is a process of letting go. And letting go becomes very scary at a certain moment, because we want to be in control. But if you're used to that inner monologue which is trustworthy, where you know we just want to go on a path here actually that is good and wholesome for myself and for other people, and you develop that trust towards it, then the mind can also let go, even when it gets scary, because that trust, it's used to that trust and to that kindness. It doesn't expect anything to come up in your meditation. It's because it's you know, even if something scary would come up, you have the power to treat that kindly. Because you have that trust in your inner kindness, in the willingness to be kind to that progress we want to make as a human being to develop our minds. And as trustworthy and kind as we are with ourselves, for long, long amounts of time, for many, many years, the mind trusts that. That is why we take the 5 precepts with us. Other people don't have to fear us, and we don't have to fear ourselves. So that another problem in the meditation is obviously the 5 senses. Five senses are not a passive institution. The physics will tell us there's basically light falling to our lens, and it's reflected on the retina, whatever it's called, and then it's actually standing on its head, and then it's transformed into electromagnetic impulses into the center, the vision center of your brain, which manages to turn it all around again, basically, that I don't see you guys sitting on your heads. So that would be vaguely a physical explanation of sight. If you meditate, if you try to sit still, and if it's dark, and you do it for some time, you can see that it's not a passive thing that happens there. It's sort of there's something there that wants to see. It wants to see things, and it has a very particular taste of what it wants to see. Want to see beautiful sights. Don't want to see ugly stuff. It's supposed to be beautiful, and when it's ugly, we turn away. So it's an active process. Sometimes it doesn't become so obviously if you sit for half an hour, but if you sit for a long time in your dark hut, then you feel that there's something there that wants to see again. And sometimes people, if they stay long enough in darkened rooms when they're imprisoned or whatnot, they start hallucinating, basically, very visual. And the brain just makes that stuff up, because there is this wanting to see there. And so basically we're going to limit that in the meditation, obviously, when we close our eyes. So sight is already not a big deal anymore. It's a little bit light and some shadows maybe, but that's it, not very interesting. And sometimes the mind goes to the sounds when the mind slows down, and you see how we cannot close our ears. The wanting to hear goes out there, but it's not that it's under our control that we can just say then, okay, now I don't want to hear. I have the cockatoos on top of my hut again, basically. And the whole time it was just like, oh gosh. And I said, you cannot shut your ears. And the only thing is basically, yeah, let them be there, the cockatoos. But still, it's not pleasant. It's not a pleasant sound. I cannot make it pleasant. I can just check my attitude that I don't get negative with it, basically.
Don't get angry?
Oh,
throw sticks at them.
A sort of tried gum nuts, actually. Not it's sort of a funny angle. It's not really sort of whatever. It's sort of go away. So, but it's the sound is I cannot help it. There's wanting to hear, wanting to smell. The five senses, they're going out into the world, and there's a certain power behind that. And sometimes when we sit down in the meditation, we can feel that, and that feels that manifests as tension in the body. We can there's something there that wants more. Is not interesting enough, the meditation. And then usually the mind starts really thinking a lot again, because it's just not interesting enough. It's just the body and the breath, and it's not even that comfortable. Because if we get more aware of the body, we feel it's not that comfortable in the body. So how can we make that? Because we have to change that perception of discomfort into something which is, oh well, but I don't have to do anything. A sort of, usually we run around the whole day actually trying to bring beautiful sights to our faces, switch the television on, I don't know, look at beautiful pictures or landscapes or girls or boys or whatever you do, I don't know. And we listen to things that delight us. And so the mind is completely not used to that concept of just not bringing the five senses in. Just being with the what we call the mind itself. And that takes even some time to realize that there is something beyond that constant proliferation of the mind, which is the sixth sense and the five senses that take in stuff all of the time. And if you get a little bit calmer in your meditation, you can see that stuff is slowing down a little bit. But it's usually, it's not that immediately, because that stuff is slowing down, that this joy is coming up, because you feel a relief. Because there's still these tendencies are still there, and they're looking still outside. So, for me, the best thing I always can do is delight the mind as good as you can, even before you start something like that. Put it in a wholesome place before you start your meditation. If you start with a little bit of joy or a little bit of gratitude meditation, if you manage through thoughts, obviously, to bring that up, some sort of, wow, how beautiful that I have that room here now, and it's not too noisy. It can be very simple. And I have that beautiful pillow here, actually. I'm sitting right comfortable. And my body is actually not aching too much right now. And that, take that in. And that can be enough in that moment. Enough joy already to give that a start in your meditation. The mind is at least gets this interest of, wow, that is comfortable, that is nice. And now I don't have to do anything. Never I should meditate. Now I don't have to do anything. And if you just start, you can, if you start with half an hour and you haven't meditated before, it can, the mind can scare away from that. Huh? It's just like, well, half an hour, that seems to be too long already. So start with, you can start with far smaller time periods. Wherever the mind says, wow, that is interesting. Okay, 5 minutes, I don't have to do anything. Wow. Okay, let's have a look what happens if I really don't do anything for 5 minutes. I don't have to figure anything out. I just stay exactly in the moment for 5 minutes. And that sometimes works. And the mind is just like, yeah, okay, wow, let's have a look. Huh? And if it's, if the time span is from the very beginning, if it's too long already, the mind just goes, oh, for half an hour, poor. And so it's very hard to get it from there into a pleasant state. Huh? So it's no problem to cut the time periods shorter when you start the meditation. Whatever helps. Here, most of the time, we go over the breath because I like people to get into contact with their bodies, because the body is usually the it resonates with what is going on in the mind. Yeah? So if there's tension in the mind, it usually manifests somewhere in the body as well. Yeah? And sometimes you really feel, wow, still have my shoulders up. Well, I'm still not relaxed. Why? Okay. Or there's you're a little bit grumpy, and if you pay attention, you feel basically, oh, okay, it manifests here around my forehead. Yeah? Or around my mouth. So as again, the body tells us actually what mood are we in, and then what can we do about it? Relax, be kind. Okay, it's okay to be grumpy. Always treat whatever you're dealing with as kind as you can. And if you can't be kind in that moment, you forgive yourself for that. That is just the way it is in that moment. And with that sort of attitude, the meditation becomes something, it becomes more smooth, and it becomes more enjoyable, more interesting as well, because it's your field of experimentation. You have to realize we're not sitting in the same reality here. Sitting in, I don't know, 50 different realities. Whatever is happening in your mind is creating this reality here. I don't live in your reality. I don't know where you are. If you are depressed, grumpy, bored, tired.
Happy?
Huh? Happy, yeah, happy, calm, whatever. Yeah? So that you have to figure that out for yourself. And basically, what we try to figure out with the meditation is how to lead that mind into a direction where it is more happy. Yeah? It's not about achieving some goal that is abstract to us. Because yeah? I want to get enlightened. What is that supposed to be? Floating over the ground, yeah? Or you open your eyes and all this light shines out. Yeah? If the meditation doesn't, it's not anything for you that makes you happy, or that way you see, wow, I have more clarity. Yeah? I have a refuge. I can sit down, and if the mind is racing, I know, oh, I can always take this step back. And sort of watch that a little bit from a distance, huh? Give it a little bit of a smile. Then meditation becomes something useful, huh? But not as another chore and as something to achieve. Huh? I often ask myself in the meditation, if it's not completely comfortable, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? But kindly. Oh, what do you want again? What do you want, mind? What do you want right now? What is missing? And then often just with a friendly question, I cannot come up with anything. And it's sort of happy, actually, that way it is. I just see that so much, that people, they meditate for so many years, but it's, I'm just not impressed where it's leading. I don't see more happiness and more relaxedness. Maybe it just leads to more tension and more fighting, and what is it good for then? And then the funny thing is basically, yeah, but I'm on the path. I'm on the path. No. No. If you develop more unwholesome mind states in your life, you're not on the path. If all we talk about here and all your meditation makes you more miserable, you're not on the path. Path, if it's the path, is happy in the beginning, happy in the middle, happy in the end. That's the Buddhist path. Sometimes it's not happy because we cannot decide if we're happy or not. And sometimes we're grumpy. That's just the way it is. But then actually we deal with that grumpiness. We don't blame ourselves, don't blame other people. We see, where's the grumpiness coming from? Okay, I wanted that, I didn't get it. I was in contact with somebody I didn't want to be in contact with. We see the desire behind it, actually, and we see cause and effect. But as we know, if we don't change it in our own minds, it's not going to change out there in the world. It's not. If it's alright in our mind, we are alright with what's outside. And if we have problems in our minds, whatever is outside is going to be unpleasant or even threatening. So please make your mind something that is your happy playground, if you can. Make it, encourage your mind. Make it something that is, you know, your own friend. Don't believe that you just have to be harsh enough and you're going to achieve something in your mind. If your mind doesn't trust you because it knows that you're an asshole, then basically it's never going to be still, that you're going to be miserable. So it has to be a friend, and it has to trust in itself that it's its own friend. And that takes some time. And sometimes we're not friends, and then we'll be friends afterwards when we remember. But the path should always be towards a direction of less tension, more happiness, more kindness, more inner joy. And this inner joy is what draws the five senses in. You can never force the five senses not to want anything. And say, oh, you should stop smoking, you shouldn't drink so much tea, you should eat less, you should, I don't know what you should do. All this stuff that we tell ourselves that we have to do. But instead of doing all that, put some joy into your mind, and the mind is not interested in eating, is not interested then in smoking, is not interested in doing much, because there's happiness there. And to build up that inner joy, to make that mind happy and kind enough, takes time. And that is the path. And meditation only helps you partially on that. Just makes you maybe more aware of what is going on. But don't expect too much, because in the end is going to be what really kicks off the meditation is joy. so much joy that the five senses just go, it's gone, and the object is just joy. It's not even the breath anymore. Ajahn Brahm's beautiful breath becomes just joy, and the mind just stays with the joy. And then more and more stuff just falls away. No pushing, no wanting, just drops and drops, because you have developed a beautiful mind. But yeah, it's not a few months, not a few years job. Actually, that is really a lifetime job going on. But on the path, it should become lighter and lighter and lighter. And if you don't have that feeling, then question what is going on. If your mind gets more and more negative, what is going on? Am I unfriendly to myself? Am I unfriendly to others? Just use that meditation to give you that awareness of and the courage to look, not to push, to look exactly, well, what's the problem here, my dear? And then meditation hopefully becomes a beautiful refuge that you can turn back to again and again and again, and the mind likes to go there because there's some beauty that it knows in that direction. Not more stress, more must, more want. Okay, I leave that for your remembrance. Are there any questions? Yeah.
Sleep. I was wanting to sit here quietly, nice and relaxed a little bit. Head drops down. Not going to sleep.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
And then there's the spikes of the nostalgia. Pop up. Oh, I'm gonna make this. Shut up.
You're far too relaxed, mate.
I don't think about it, I just know there's a lot.
The nice thing is, sometimes you're just tired, but actually, if there is joy as well, if a little bit of joy comes up, then also energy comes up at the same time. And if not, you have that joy of being completely relaxed, to almost fall asleep in your chair. I love that. Beautiful. Great.
Isn't that sloth and torpor?
No. I think there is a complete misinterpretation of sloth and torpor. They always. I think sloth and torpor is far more the sloth and torpor of the mind not wanting to change habits. That is how I interpret it. It's not that, oh, I'm tired now, and oh, you have to push against it, you shouldn't be tired, and what a bullshit. You have a body and you have a mind, you're going to be tired, basically. That's the way it is. If you think a lot, you're going to be more tired. If you have to interact, after I'm in a group, I'm always more tired. I have to talk the whole time and concentrate on what I'm basically. Yeah, that's just the way it is. And so for me, sloth and torpor is this unwillingness of the mind to move out of its old habits. Huh? The sloth there. So never worry about falling asleep. I think that's always, I love it when people, Ajahn Brahm always fell asleep. He's one of the best meditators. He's here just in Thailand, and he got criticized and whatnot. He was nodding all over the place. The whole time. That is a beautiful sign. That means basically they're totally relaxed already. There's trust there. Yeah. So that is a great step already if you manage that. And then one day, basically, you're not going to be tired in that moment. And then the mind just becomes still, and there's some joy, and you can look a little bit deeper. So I would never just worry about that guy who tells you you shouldn't fall asleep. That guy actually is sort of, come on, you can be a bit nicer, you know, he's tired, can fall asleep. So the inner monologue, actually, that is pointing the finger again. I would put the attention to that one, actually, to make that as friendly as you can.